part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, that's the number that you can get in touch with us on the Adventist World Radio as we give you Bible-based content. Joining us on the line is my elder, Elder Nyashi Yunde, taking us through the Daily Focus feature, Faith and Works. We're going to be exploring the relationship between faith and works in Christian theology as we delve into the foundational understanding of how faith motivates action and how actions in turn strengthen and demonstrate faith. This discussion will reflect on passages such as James chapter 2, where he speaks about this relationship of faith and works and how you can see that one by the other. And we will underscore the inseparable connection between these two. So do join us as we discuss together, of course, with my elder. Elder, good afternoon and welcome to Live. Elder Nyashi Yunde, you are muted. Okay, our elder has picked up, he's connected, but he has muted. I'm not sure if he's saying he's not yet able to come to the phone. There we go. Mdala.
Good afternoon, Elder.
How are you, sir?
Fine, sir. How are you?
No, doing all right. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us this afternoon as we're going to be looking at matters pertaining to faith and works. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Mdala, mm-hmm. Let's jump straight into our discussion for this afternoon. We understand faith and works in their separate definitions, but when you combine them, what does faith mean to you in the context of Christian theology, and how does it influence your actions and decisions?
Thank you so much. Faith, actually, in a Christian sense, is a complete trust and confidence in God and what He has done to us through Jesus Christ. Basically, when we go in a biblical sense, especially when we consider Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 up to 2, there the Bible says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and for by it the elders obtained a good report. So implying that faith in a narrow view is actually something that helps us to navigate life in the way we make life choices that are less threatening in life. For instance, we don't need to question a chair when we want to actually sit on it. By faith, we'd actually get down and sit. Even when crossing a road, still we may not need to question whether we'll be hit by a car. By faith, we'll be able to do that. But when we take a broader view, faith can actually help us to make better and lifetime decisions. For instance, it empowers us with an understanding of our humanity in our human mind in terms of what we expect actually as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also helps us to deal with the real life issues with the hope of what God has actually assured us, especially when we look at the plan of salvation itself. So basically, that's what in the biblical sense, in the Christian theology, faith is all about.
And from your perspective, remember the question was saying, in your own understanding, how do you view it? In your own
in my own understanding, faith is actually having belief in something that you've not seen. In this sense, it means you actually anchor all your hope in something that is yet to happen. For instance, we have a message that Christ is coming, and basically, when He came here on earth, I did not see Him, but by faith I believe because I've read. So that's what I understand about faith.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. For this, maybe let's discuss how faith motivates action in the lives of believers, prompting them to live out the teachings of Christ.
Okay, thank you. The Bible actually, when we are learning about faith in terms of how it gives us motivation as believers to live a life of being Christians as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an understanding that biblically the teaching that which is given in the Bible is that we are saved by faith and not works. And with that understanding, it means that it is by grace that we have received salvation through faith. And then this is something which is not of our own making in terms of us working for it. It's something that has been given freely without any human effort. Because if it was something that we are working for, then we would boast about it. And even petition Christ when we are not found on that great day, also would think of the works that we've done. But grace is actually understood to be unmerited favor. So in a way, I'm simply understanding this, that through faith I'm motivated. Christians are supposed to be able to do good works because of what God has done to them in terms of his death on the cross. And out of that, it is actually driving a force for every Christian to actually believe and worship God as a creator and redeemer.
All right, thank you so much for that, Mdala. I think that that really is profound. But here's now where we maybe let's take it a notch up higher. When you look at the idea of faith, right, genuine faith, if you will,
yes.
James would say you can't see that by claiming you have it. He says you then see it by the works that I do. Talk to us a bit about how faith is evidenced by its fruit in actual fact, as James would put it in chapter 2 of his letter there, to say you only see it as you have works. It's almost counterintuitive. Here we are saying we're saved by faith, by grace rather, through faith. And here James is saying, but that faith must have works. Help us understand this offshoot of faith being works.
Sure, thank you. So actually, just like the way James puts it in James 2:14-16, these two are inseparable. When we claim to have faith, our faith must be evidenced in what we do. Meaning that we may not simply profess our belief and faith in Christ without tangible results in terms of what we need to do. So basically, when James says we need to show faith, so we'll narrow down to what actually the Bible clearly says in verse 15 of James chapter 2. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So it means that even faith without works is also dead on its own without actually combining the two. So what James simply says there, in the very verse that has been given, the real sense is when we are preaching about love as Christians, love must be evidenced in action. Where in the passage that has been given, when a brother is naked, as a show of love, we must actually be able to give him or her something to put on that may be able to keep him or her warm. If one is in need of food, we must simply make a provision. And also, when we make visitations in hospitals, for instance, we have brothers and sisters who are sick at the verge of dying. At times, we'll be there as church members to simply offer prayers and the ways of comfort. And then, even after we have made the power of prayers, on the table beside the patient, there is actually a prescription that needs money to buy medication. Even when we pray without also meeting that physical need, our prayer may not be all that complete. So we may blend the two by actually offering prayers and words of encouragement, and at the same time, make a provision to meet the real need in terms of the physical aspect by financing the purchase of drugs. Then it will make sense. And then the other aspect is as given in James 1, verse 27, where we are told that the pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. We as Adventists, we as Christians are expected to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction by making real-time provisions of what they need, so that we are able to blend the two, the spiritual aspect and the physical need. Bearing in mind that there is a statement which says no one can speak to a hungry man on anything except food. So that means that when we meet people, it is good, let's preach to them the good tidings about the coming of Christ. At the same time, we need also to meet their physical needs. When we do this, then we'll be meeting the teaching that James is giving.
Okay, all right, you know, I hear you. And I think it's quite a profound teaching indeed right there. Della, thank you so much for your time. Maybe as we draw towards a close here, we want to understand the ways that works serve as tangible expressions of demonstrating the authenticity of and sincerity of one's beliefs. Is it a mandatory that you must be always having these works? I'm trying to think here. James puts some pressure on Christians in this passage. He speaks about when you go praying for somebody, you mustn't just say, be warm when they need clothing, be fed when they are hungry. What if you don't have, Mfundisi? Is it meaning that we can't go to visit hospitals, we can't visit orphanages if we can't really provide for their needs in that significant way? Should we rather basically not even bother going at all?
Oh, thank you. That's not what James is really giving. So all in all, in our quest to speak for Christ as his ambassadors here on earth, we must do our best that we make a blend of the two. When we don't have, we cannot provide, but each time when an opportunity is given to do good and to those in need, we must actually do that. So basically, the message that James has most given, as he highlighted in his book, James chapter 2, especially when we go in verse 17 and 18, James is actually making a very profound emphasis on that one, in terms of how works must actually be shown to give a real-time action in terms of what we need to do. So it is imperative that as Christians, when we do all we need, we really meet this aspect. Because even Mika also raises a similar thing when he raises a question, what does the Lord require? Then the answer is given that you do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Similarly, 1 John 3:18, it also gives a similar message that let us not love with words or time, but with actions and in truth. James again comes on board. So meaning it is actually real time, because when we make charitable works, either visiting orphanages, old aged houses, prisons and the hospitals,
yeah,
away from simply praying for patients, we must also do our best to meet their physical needs, and then they'll be able to appreciate the message that we bear.
Yeah, certainly. I like that, Mfundisi, and thank you so much for that, my elder. Maybe then as we draw to the close, Mdala, talk to us about, you know, this idea of works and faith, which is which, has always been a bone of contention in Christianity? Is it works? Is it faith? And they're always at loggerheads, either or, it seems. How do we reconcile this tension between faith and works in Christian theology and application in the denominations, particularly in understanding the balance between grace and good deeds? Is it about works? Is it about grace? Which is it?
Okay, so first of all, what we need to understand is salvation comes by God's grace through human faith. So when we consider Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, there the Bible says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift, something that we do not actually expect. We do not work for it. It comes freely through the death of Jesus Christ." And then number two, salvation is a gift in Christ. So when we consider Romans chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible there says, "Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus." And then the third aspect is salvation is offered to all men. When we consider Titus chapter 2, verse 14, there the Bible says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." And then salvation is also something that involves the head and the mind, or the heart. The heart and the mouth. Romans 10:9, it says, that is, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So basically, the aspect of faith that actually in which we receive this grace that God has given, as evidence of our salvation, we must actually do charitable and good works. That does not qualify us to be saved. So Ephesians actually chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared before, and so that we would walk in them. So as Christians, when we have actually accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we are expected to show works of gratitude, works of service to call others to actually join him. So the forms of works that we may need to do is as evidenced in Matthew chapter 25, a book that actually gives the story of the end time when Christ will divide the sheep and the goat. The people who will be put on the right hand actually will be commended for having done good works, like visiting the people in prisons, those in sick, also helping the needy by making provision away from simply preaching and praying for them. And then the next phase of works that we need to do is actually about mission. You and me, Elder Derek, we've been called to call us, we've been saved to save. So we have a mission to bear to the world, especially as we know that you and me have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have a time to share this wonderful work with the people that we left in the world. So basically, this is how we can actually look at the two. So having received salvation, we are to work, not expecting to be saved because we have worked. No, we must work to show our gratitude to God in terms of what he has done to us in saving us through the death of Jesus Christ. So that's actually the linkage between works and the grace that we receive in Christ Jesus.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for that. Truly appreciated. Any closing remarks as we wrap up today?
Thank you, Oda. I think the message for today clearly says we have been saved by grace through faith that we receive through Jesus. And then with that, I think we have something that we need to learn, that Christ is not a respecter of man, but to all those that accept him, he is ready to receive them the way they are. So when we look at the story in the Bible, there are actually two profound texts that have actually caught my attention. Through works of charity and meeting even strangers. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1 says some actually entertained angels unawares and they received blessings. And these are the likes of Abraham and his wife Sarai. The time they did this, the assurance of a son was again given, according to Genesis 18. Then again, Lot also, in the quest to practice the life of being hospitable, he was also given an opportunity to be saved, and actually he got saved. And finally, that is found in Genesis 19, then Rahab was a prostitute in Joshua 2. When she saved the spies, she got an opportunity to be saved. That's why Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, Rahab, the harlot or prostitute, perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with the faith. And ultimately, away from the physical setup where she was saved, she is one of the great, great grandmothers of Jesus Christ. And that can be confirmed in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, where the Bible says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse. So the interesting part is, when we accept Christ by confessing with our mouth and consenting with our hearts or minds, then God will be able to receive us. And when we receive salvation, we have a duty to do good works unto others. These are the closing remarks, Elder Derek. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mdala. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time, thank you so much.
God bless you too. Thanks.
There you have it, Elder Nyachiyunda, taking us through the Daily Focus feature, Faith and Works.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.